It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Senator Mike Lee meeting with President Trump yesterday had nothing to do with impeachment from what we understand. It was all about education. Secretary of Education was there as well.
Yeah, this is something I think we forget. We think that, oh, they're all in Washington. They see each other all the time. But you get a face-to-face with the president, that means something.
I believe it had something to do in part with families being able to send kids to private school.
Yeah, I'm really interested. I think...
which we can do anyway, but I wonder if that's going to be on the federal dime. We're going to have to get him on the line and ask him.
Yeah, which is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to reach out to Senator Lee. He's going to join us. He told the president he wants educational pluralism. What does that even mean? What does that mean to our families? Because it sounds like something parents should probably care about.
Oh, we care about a kid's education for sure. So this isn't the first time we've heard about choice when it comes to schools. In fact, President Trump's State of the Union address, he talked about it earlier.
The time has come to pass school choice for Americans' children.
So what does that mean exactly, school choice? And does that have anything to do with Senator Mike Lee's meeting yesterday with the president?
Yeah, I think that's really the question is, what's the future look like? Senator Lee joins us right now. And Senator, thank you so much. But I'm curious, what was the purpose of that conversation with the president? And what did you say to him?
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be with you. And it was an honor to make the case for what I call educational pluralism to President Trump and Secretary DeVos yesterday at the White House. Educational pluralism is a fancy word for a simple approach. A simple approach that acknowledges that parents should be in charge to the greatest extent possible of making important decisions regarding their child's education. It's an approach to education policy that rejects the one-size-fits-all model that has come to dominate federal education policy and much of our K-12 education policy. It's opposed to the monopolistic provision of K-12 public education exclusively through public schools that are assigned rigidly by neighborhood residents alone.
You called it a monopoly. How do you see our public schools as being a monopoly right now?
Well, insofar as those schools offer parents no choice, no options for students to attend another school, then it behaves in the same way that a monopoly does, in that they take money from people in the form of taxes. They spend that money, but they don't give them any options. They have one option that they can attend. Now, some school districts are better at this than others. Some offer charter school options. Others offer for people to be able to send their child to a magnet school or a specialized school. We think there should be more of that rather than less.
Senator Mike Lee on the line with us talking about educational pluralism. Met with the president yesterday talking about more choices for parents. And I'm going to go back to something that you just said, Senator Lee, which has me puzzled about choice, because I was one of those parents who took my children out of private school education, put them in a school that I thought was better suited for them in the public education realm outside of my neighborhood. And I had absolutely no problems in doing that whatsoever. So I really don't understand where you see there's an issue here, because I think it's been pretty easy for us as parents to transfer our kids to different schools.
Yes, and you should be able to do that. Fortunately for us in Utah, in many parts of our state, that is possible. In other parts of the state and in many places throughout the country, that isn't possible. People have one option based on the age and grade level of their child. They may send their child to the assigned public school based on the designation imposed by the school district or the state or whatever political subdivision it is, and only that one. So I'm glad you availed yourself of that opportunity. I think it's fantastic you were able to. Not everybody has that chance.
So you're trying to make it so everyone has that same opportunity we experienced.
Yeah, they ought to have as many opportunities as possible. And there are a lot of options we can pursue in that area. Everyone wins when we do that. It favors getting civil society, that is, parts of our society that are not part of government, more involved in schooling decisions, even within public schools, within a closed-loop public school system, so that community preferences and individual family values can better be reflected in the education that children receive. The parents ought to be able to play an active role in that. But, you know, this approach to education would require a certain policy reform, primarily at the state and local levels. That's why it's good we had this conversation yesterday.
As you met with President Trump and the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, she has been a huge proponent of school choice, which allows those public funds to be used kind of however you want, publicly, privately, charter, even homeschool. So I would imagine you had a pretty friendly ear as you were discussing some of these thoughts. Here in Utah, we make a great deal about per pupil spending, that we spend, you know, $7,000 per kid per year to educate. So my question is, would those kind of funds be available to me as a parent to decide which kid goes where?
Look, there are myriad policy approaches that can be taken to this. Federal policy can promote it only at the margins, primarily by giving states more flexibility in how they spend federal education dollars. There are some tax issues with the federal government where the federal government can play a minor role. Most of this really does occur at the state and local level, and states and localities have taken a variety of different approaches here. Charter schools provide one set of options. School vouchers or limited purpose school vouchers can provide another. These are all ways of making the public school system, the public K-12 education dollar, provide more options to the American people. And that's ultimately what helps. I heard yesterday from two young African-American high school students, one from Ohio and one from Pennsylvania, who have been given opportunities within their respective states to pursue different education opportunities through the public school system, but outside the traditional rigid publicly funded system. And it's given them opportunities to work their way into the middle class. They were both from families that had been affected by poverty and whose public school assigned to their neighborhood hadn't been exactly what they wanted, exactly what would best help them climb into the middle class.
Senator Mike Lee, before we let you go, you know, as you're fully well aware, the House introducing articles of impeachment today against the president. Your insights or thoughts on that?
The articles were just posted. I just left a hearing in which we were talking about data encryption and data privacy. And so I saw the news that had come out. I have not yet had a chance to review the articles. I look forward to doing so. I will say I've been disappointed both by the process followed by the House of Representatives and by the legal theory. President Trump, in his conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky, succeeded where President Obama had tried and failed for years in getting the Ukrainian government to investigate allegations of corruption within Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. That doesn't amount to anything along the lines of what they're describing. It's not impeachable. It's not criminal. It's not even wrong. And so I'm disappointed with this, and I look forward to reviewing these allegations in the Senate and giving the president the opportunity to be heard in a way that he hasn't been in the House.
Senator Mike Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
A great conversation. Wow, we have had the lineup of all lineups today, the who's who of interviews. Senator Mike Lee, thank you so much for jumping on the line with us. Next, we're going to go right on the money because we want to alert you to a new kind of loan that you're going to get hit up for at the cash register. More and more stores are doing this. This is not a credit card. We're going to go in depth when we go right on the money.
And Dujanovic. Listen to Dave and Debbie wherever you are. They're live at KSLNewsRadio.com and on the KSL News Radio app. And of course, in the car on 102.7 FM.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.